Welcome to the Rams Writer Podcast.
Tight angle, cross to Pearson. Pearson scores! Stephen Pearson scores for Derby County!
From Wisdom. He's round! By Cashin. Goal! Well, well! Back post. Forsyth heads on goal. It's looping. It's in! Derby has scored! It's Craig Forsyth with a looping header at the back post. Sibley shoots across. Goal! Yes! He scored! Lewis Sibley in the 90th minute! The goal we wanted has come!
Hello and welcome to the Rams Writer Podcast with your host Simon Long and co-host Chris Holt. Chris, good evening, mate. How are we doing? Bit of a poor weekend, but we move.
Yeah, good evening, Simon. Yeah, one of those weekends, mate. It's going to happen. That's league football for you.
It certainly is. So obviously, Derby went down 3-2 at home to Plymouth. You know, a bit of a fortress Pride Park was becoming. And we let a 2-0 lead slip against, obviously, let's be honest, Plymouth are going to be up there. We've mentioned it before, there or thereabouts this season. Good football inside, but a 2-0 lead at home, it's not something you throw away, is it, Chris?
Should never happen. Personally, the way the game was going at half-time, I'd have gone to shut shop as a manager. There was no way we were going to outplay them second half. The writing was on the wall that they were getting on top and they were the better side. I would have looked at my bench, looked to shut down any threat and walked out of Pride Park with a rather fortuitous 2-0 or 2-1. But these things happen.
Yeah, it was a bit. To be honest, I mean, I remember going to see at half time, I went outside, as you do, go mingle and have a beer or whatnot. And I spoke to a mate, Ryan of mine, and I think I said to him, I says, we were poor in that first half. I don't think we played that great. I thought we took the opportunity of the two chances. Obviously, one was, you know, Dave McGoldrick winning the ball back, you know, in midfield, well, off their back line in midfield. Feed it to James Collins, who finally scored. We'll move on to that in a minute. He finally got his goal. And then the second goal was a absolute brilliant bit of individual skill from Nathaniel Mendes-Lang. And you're thinking, right, it's 2-0 up now, but I didn't think we would deserve that 2-0 lead. You know, Plymouth causes a lot of problems. You know, Joe Wildsmith was the busier goalkeeper, made some good stops. So the second half, I thought something needs to change here. But I felt we came out on the front foot in the second half. I felt that, you know, there was a chance for Collins again, even though I think Barkay's meant to cross it for McGoldrick. But after that, oh, yeah, of course, in the first half, we cannot forget Jason Knight's unbelievable block off the line. Can't forget that, definitely not. But after that, yeah, we sort of just, I don't know, we didn't. It was like we didn't know what to do. You know, Plymouth ran all over us. You know, they had the most of the ball. They were running the lines, making the shapes. They were easily cutting us open. We looked very poor defensively.
I just thought there was a lack of energy, Simon. Mm. We looked lethargic. What worried me more than anything was that they played four in midfield. We played five in midfield. Mm. And they outrun us. They completely outgunned us in midfield. I think they must have won 90% of second ball, every time. They were just so quick. And even at 2-0 down, they did not panic.
No.
They had calmness in their play. What worries me more than anything, and we'll come into it, is that this has happened two or three times now, second half, where we've just come out a completely different side. Barnsley,
yeah.
Charlton, and now Plymouth.
Yeah,
Peterborough to an extent.
Well, yeah, I think Peterborough again. Yeah,
and it's becoming a little bit concerning. It's a blip, but it's something we can discuss.
Do you think it's fitness levels?
Yes,
you do.
Yeah. I think it's showing now that we are still a couple of weeks behind everybody. I think the reality hits for the first time on Saturday that we are behind slightly on pre-season. I know we're 6 games in now, 7 games in, but I thought it showed more in our back four and midfield. Yeah. And I think that it's good in a way. We've got a week now of clear 5 days of training, break it down. I'm pleased in a way we haven't got a game Tuesday.
Yeah, yeah.
Completely honest. I think Liam will be pleased with that too, because it allows him to freshen up things, possibly get Curtis back on into the frame. I personally believe if Curtis would have been playing that game, we wouldn't have collapsed.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, so obviously Bird's been captain whilst Davis has been out, which, you know, it's a tough task for a young man to sort of do. And there was I saw a lot of comments regarding the midfield of Conor Hourihan and Max Bird, just not working. There's no real balance between them. And I have to agree. I think, you know, Max Bird, as good as he is on the ball, defensively wise, he's not good enough to play that holding midfield role on his own. And it's like he needs somebody with him, which I think then makes Conor Hourihan ineffective, because he's always so deep. Which again, he's not somebody that's ultra defensive. You know, I think we missed someone. When we saw it against Peterborough, we saw the difference that Corey Smith made. You know, and with him out injured, it's been difficult. There was cause for Knight to be moved into midfield, but is Aduru ready yet to go to right back? I don't think he is. So we were always going to see the weaknesses as the season went on. And I think now that we still are so early into this season, we can actually see those weaknesses. And what do you think about the pairing, the midfield two pairing of Hourihan and Bird?
The problem I had with Saturday with Max was his passing was just not getting to the destination where he wanted it to go. There seemed to be a lack of pace, whether it was on the pitch, whether it was just in his ability with the passing, they just weren't hitting the target.
Yeah.
And the amount of times that the ball fell short and we lost the ball in second phase in midfield was pretty staggering. I think if you look at the stats on that, I think it was something like they won 80% of second phase balls, which is horrific. Let's be honest. Hourihan, I thought that was his worst game.
Yeah.
He's had so far. But I think he played for Plymouth for 3 years. He over 140 appearances. I think he started his career there, if I remember rightly. So I think it was one of those classic games of a player playing against one of his former clubs and trying too hard.
Yeah, I think he showed him a little bit too much respect, I think.
Yeah. And I think that sometimes it can go one of two ways. You look at Morgan Whittaker, who seems to score against us every time he bloody plays against us.
Just knew it was going to happen, didn't you?
Yeah, exactly. And then you look at the likes of Connor, who just basically tried too hard. And even his set balls, some of the crosses that he was pinging in were just not getting to the destination. In fact, I think he overhit the ball far too much. Whereas Max was, his passes were going short, Connor's were going too long. And it all sort of fell apart slowly.
Yeah, it wasn't, as I say, it wasn't great. I mean, like, I think we have to, you know, we'll take a positive, and that's Dave McGoldrick. Once he is fit, fully matched, 90 minutes fit, we have some player there. He was incredible for the 60 minutes that he gave us. And obviously, Liam's got to manage his minutes. He said this. But he was a real big difference maker. The ball sticks with him. He's got pace as well. I didn't realize how quick he was. He's strong, you know. And obviously he set up. It was him winning the ball back in midfield and then setting up Collins for his first goal, you know. And I think with Goldrick in this side, then we, you know, if we can just sort out the defensive worries we've got and everything, I think then we definitely sort of should be okay.
Where did he play?
10. There's a 10.
There you go.
As you said, as a 10.
I've been saying he won't play at a 9. These people who keep saying that he's a 9, he's not a 9.
Mm.
But he's, you're right, his pace in the first 2 or 3 yards, like he's such a skillful player. He's such an underrated player. It's a shame that we never had him Don't get me wrong, we could get some wonderful games out of him. But can you imagine what it was like in his prime at Ipswich? He was unstoppable.
Yeah, and I think Collins will feed off him well, because what with McGoldrick as the 10, it allows Collins to stay a little bit further forward, doesn't have to keep coming deep and fishing for the ball. And I think we'll talk about Collins. We obviously said last week, how long do you give him? You said, no, we'll still give him time. I was a bit sort of, yeah, but how long? And he's proved me wrong, which is fine. I don't mind being proved wrong, because it's a good thing. He scored.
Good finish.
It was a good finish. You know, it's one of them you think, right, this is his moment. I think if he'd missed that, that would have been almost the writing on the wall, really. But yeah, a really tidy finish, left foot, little dink sort of around the keeper. And do you think now you saw what it meant to him in his celebration, and you saw what it meant to the rest of the team, the way they all come round and rallied round him. Do you think now he'll have confidence to go and score more goals?
Yeah, he works unbelievably hard off the ball. And it was the first good opportunity he had in the game as well. He hadn't had any opportunities prior to that that I can remember that took his confidence away. You know, this was his first clear-cut opportunity on goal against a very, very good goalkeeper who was keeper of the year, I believe, I think it was League One last year. I think he was keeper of the year because he was at Plymouth last year, wasn't he?
Michael Cooper?
Yeah, he was Plymouth's player of the season last year, and I'm sure he was keeper of the year in League One. He's a really good keeper.
He's only a young lad, isn't he? I think he's only about 22.
And he did everything that a keeper should do when Collins approached him with the opportunity. But the dink over his left shoulder to finish the ball was wonderful. He didn't, you know, a lot of strikers will automatically try to blast that through the legs.
Yeah.
The keeper, because obviously a keeper naturally comes off the ground, raises his body, spreads his body to stretch across as much as he can. And Collins was ready for that. And the dink over his shoulder was superb.
Yeah.
Pleased for him, thrilled for him. He's clearly a popular player.
And
he's only going to get better. You're right. You can't bench a player for not scoring, because that you're looking not at the bigger picture. And the bigger picture was that for the games he had played, he was consistently working hard off the ball. He faded. He did fade. And again, was it a game too much? Was it a case of he was worn out? Because clearly, after the second half, I don't think he touched the ball. Great to see him on the score sheet.
I think because he played in the Tuesday night game with 3-1-3 pin of Grimsby in the EFL Trophy. But it's great. I am delighted for him. I was getting concerned, but hopefully now he can kick on. And again, I think if he's got McGoldrick with him, he'll score goals. Yeah, McGoldrick will make sure of that. But and then obviously Mendes Lang, again, you know, he scored again, another one, scored on Tuesday against Grimsby in the cup, and then did it again. Some great feet. But again, he seems to be someone that can only seem to last 60, 70 minutes again. You got to think about it. You know, I've seen people saying, "Oh, switch to a back three," and you know, we've lost one game, or we lost two all season, but we lost one game at the weekend. No point. You know, I don't see a switch of formation do anything good. You're not going to get Mendes Lang running up and down that wing for 90 minutes. You know, when you're a fast player like he is, you are going to tire. You know, and the footwork was brilliant to take it around two defenders, and then the finish, it's just power, pure power. The keeper's not stopping that from that range. But moving on to the second half, obviously 2-0 up, they started to press forward. They were defending the halfway line, and that was it. And I just felt like we needed... You could see McGoldrick was tired. He wasn't sharp as he was in the first half. But I felt we needed someone that was going to bring on some pace, try and play on the counter, because I think that worked against Peterborough, playing on the counter-attack did. You mentioned it the other week that playing counter-attack football can work in this, but you need the players and we need a pace on and to try and get some balls in over the top for us to chase. But we didn't. We went, I don't know what we did. We just, McGoldrick came off for Liam Thompson. and Barkhuizen came on for Louis Sibley. So we put Louis Sibley on the left-hand side, which we know what he's like. He cannot, he can't play out wide. It's not his natural position. He does not like playing there. And Liam Thompson must have had the worst game I've ever seen him play, and that's saying something. Now, you guys that listen regularly, you know I'm not his biggest fan, but everything passed him by. Everything. He was brought on, Liam said afterwards, he brought Liam Thompson on to close the gaps in midfield. Why? He can't defend. He's not big enough to defend.
No,
he's pushed off the ball easily, loses the ball easily, gives the ball away. You know, he was heading, balls were coming in, and it was a five-yard header to a Derby player, and he still managed to pick out a Plymouth player.
Yeah. I thought the Plymouth midfield absolutely dominated him. I thought Butcher was outstanding. I thought Danny Mayer was outstanding. And they've got a great lad at the back, that Dan Scott. I agree with you. I think it was a game that his skill set just didn't suit. He couldn't get close to them because they were playing one-touch triangles throughout all three phases of the pitch.
Yeah.
And they just ran. I think they ran Derby out of energy. They just passed Derby out of the game.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not blaming him for any of the goals. You know, there was, you know, the second goal for that was Sam Cosgrove. Well, Whittaker goal was a bit of a shot, half blocked, and it just fell to Whittaker, and he scored from what, 8 yards out. Second goal, better.
Could have done better. I thought we were poor on that. I thought Cashin was. I still think he could have prevented that going through his legs.
Yeah, second goal. It was almost a crossfield ball, and Knight went to ground, didn't he? And missed the ball totally, which is, you know, unlike him.
But again,
suspicion of offside.
Yeah, but again, who was marking him? Because again, I'm going to mention Erin, who's been absolutely magnificent, Erin, up to this game. But this is a game he's going to want to forget because he's actually involved in all three goals against us.
Yes,
you look
at
the second goal, he leaves Cosgrove on the far post on his own.
Yeah.
He's ball watching. Cosgrove peels off him, goes to the far post. Ball gets played at the angle, bang.
Like I say, suspicion of offside, but again, poor defending. And then the third goal, it was just a long ball. And
If in doubt,
kick it out. Cashin tried to control it, messed it up, and Cosgrove was quicker than him. And Wild Smith couldn't really do anything. Maybe not go to his knees would have been better, or maybe diving at the player's feet would have been better, but I'm not going to blame him for that, really. But yeah, again, like you say, Cashin was at fault. I suppose you can say for all three games, but you know, I think we forget because of how well he's introduced himself into the team. I think we forget that he is only a young lad and they will make mistakes. You know, and he's still a good defender, but yeah, they were basic errors, I suppose, that they could have been sorted, but it is where it is, you know. I think the disappointing fact was losing at home. But it was blowing a 2-0 lead, and I think that for me was the more annoying issue is that you're 2-0 up at home, you concede a goal 2-1, the changes by Rosinha, you know, he's normally got it spot on this season, normally he's got his substitution spot on, but I just feel like he didn't have the players that he wanted. You know, if he was going to bring McGoldrick off, he would have brought Corey Smith on. For me personally, I would have brought Jake Rooney on to play in midfield to sit because obviously with him being naturally sort of a centre back that can play in midfield, he's going to win you the ball back. His positioning is better, and he's had two brilliant games when he's come in. He came in again at the EFL Trophy against Grimsby, man of the match. I just don't understand it, you know. I know I'm not Thompson's biggest fan. I know that. But, you know, you were raving about him. You said, no, he is a good little player. But to me, it just showed his weakness. His weakness is, what does he offer you? Obviously, it wasn't a game of attacking, but there was a moment near the end of the game. We were pushing forward and he's got the ball at his feet and he froze. Didn't know what to do with it. Played a little square pass to Bird. Get it in the box. That's all you've got to do. Just put it in the box. People try and get heads on it. You know, the you might get a corner. We get a corner and, you know, we'll see what happens there. But there was just absolutely nothing. I genuinely believe if we had more players come in, he would be back in the academy.
I agree. We said that, didn't we, at Radio Derby? I think the mistake he made at half, I would have gone to the three at the back at half time. I'd have brought Jake Rooney on and played Cashin and Stearman as a three. And then I would have pushed Knight up with Forsyth to make a more compact five. His bench just didn't allow him to continue playing that football that he was trying to play. And I don't know what it was. I don't know if, because there was no real major changes. It's interesting. He seems to have lost confidence in Roberts.
That was an interesting one.
That's a game and a half now that Foz has played. Because he took Roberts off at half time, didn't he, the previous game?
Yeah.
And I didn't think Fozzy was particular. You know, I don't know. You could say in theory he may have been at fault for the second goal. Where was his positioning? But I just think when you go into a half time scenario, 2-0 up, not playing particularly well and getting basically outplayed. You shut shop, as I said at the start of the podcast.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
The bench allowed Derby to shut shop. You had Hayden Roberts on there, you had Jake Rooney on the bench. And he went all, what I didn't understand was that he took four seniors off.
At a
critical part of the game where you're 2-0, 2-1, your most important players are your senior players who know how to play, you know, game management. We've proven against Peterborough we can do it. We've proven against Barnsley we can do it. But if you look at the players who are on the pitch that game managed the Barnsley game and game managed the Peterborough game, there was a lot of, you know, I just thought they took, it was just one of those games where I just thought he openly admitted he got it wrong.
Yeah.
And it's a learning curve and we shouldn't take anything away from Liam. I still think that he's doing a great job. But I just thought it was a game too early for Asula. I thought it was it. I thought Lewis Dobbin must have felt pretty cheesed off, to be honest, that he came on at 80 minutes, bear in mind that he tore Grimsby to bits. And previously, he played well against Peterborough.
Yeah. Again, I don't know what he was thinking. I don't even know what he was trying to achieve, to be honest. You know, he kept Horahan on and moved him a little bit further forward, but Sibley was ineffective on the wing. It almost felt like he'd run out of ideas and just thought, right, go try and freshen some legs up and chase Ryan and win the ball back. But yeah, they just felt like there was no sort of thought behind the substitutions at all. And as you said, you know, he could have switched formation.
You could have put Thompson. You could have put Thompson at left back and you could have put Fozzy into the centre.
Yeah, or you could have put Roberts on the centre back. And gone through at the back. There was plenty of options to go a bit more defensive, but yeah, it did confuse me. The substitutes did that, and I just thought after seeing the subs, I thought we're not going to win this. I didn't expect to lose, but I didn't think we were going to. I just thought we're going to fall apart here. And for me personally, if you're going to take off Barkhuizen, you bring on Dobbin for him. If you're going to take off McGoldrick, you bring on Sibley. If you want to go more defensive, you bring on a Jake Rooney. I've not heard Liam's post-match. I've not heard the full post-match interview or anything. You know, he was disappointed. It's a learning curve is what I heard. The players lacked energy, you know, which is the first time we have done this season. Well, yeah, you can't be having that excuse that, you know, maybe he should have taken a little bit of blame for himself, saying maybe I got it wrong.
What I found really interesting was Plymouth had been together for a while. And if you remember, Darren Robinson did say that he thought Plymouth would be his dark horse. He thinks the recruiter, well, they've got a good side. And they got Sam Cosgrove on deadline day from Birmingham on loan. Now, to me, that would have been a perfect foil for Derby.
Yeah.
Because he came off the bench, he looked fit. He's clearly a good player. He has a reputation. He's gone through a bit of a bad patches. As players do. Collins did at Cardiff for the last 12 games. But he looked sharp. His finish for both goals were clinical. But if you look at the finishing 11 for Plymouth and its experience and the players he brought on to finish the game, and you look at the finishing 11 for Derby and the experience. So, you know, Derby was, I think it was Wildsmith, Knight, Stearman, Cashin, Fozzy, Max, Connor, Sibley,
Thompson,
Asula, and Dobbin. That is just not an experienced spine. There is no, with all due respect to Connor, Max, Asula, Dobbin, and Thompson, there's no grit there. There's no out and out tenacious person that you need in that middle of the pitch to break things down, to stop the flow, just to put a crunch. There was no crunching tackles. Plymouth played so freely the last 30 minutes. It was frightening. And I think Liam realised he made a mistake quite early in the game. But unfortunately, this is why I think that, okay, we haven't spoke about deadline day, but I know that people are saying that the pleas that they kept Knight and the pleas that they kept Bird, but I really, really thought that the targets for me would have been seniority. We've got a young striker in Dobbin. We've got Sibley, who clearly was getting better. I find the Asula player signing a little, you know, he may be an exciting player, and hopefully he'll prove me wrong, but I really would have gone from a Cosgrove myself, a senior player, and gone for somebody who you could bring on off the bench. Okay, we're missing Corey Smith, who did okay, to be fair, when he came on last game. Well, he turned the game, didn't he?
Yeah.
He turned the game against Peterborough. And yes, we're missing Curtis at the back, and we're missing James Chester. The back four is going to change. And the back four, let's be fair, in the six games that we've had in the league, the back four's changed, I think, pretty much three or four times already with Curtis's injury, Hayden Roberts coming in and out. It's good to get that kind of reality check quite early.
Yeah.
Because he's got a week to rectify it.
Yeah, I mean, I said, look, we you know, people are saying, oh, should do this, should do that. Why have we bought Adura if he's not ready? And it's just like, hang about. We've still got a very thin squad. Realistically, we have. Yeah, we bought 14 players in. Well, let's just go for them 14 players. Three of them are goalkeepers.
Yep.
So that's 11. Two of the, Anang's obviously injured. Obviously, Chester's injured and Corey Smith's injured. So now we're down to 9 of the new players. You've got Davis injured. You know, so that's 8. So that's how thin we are. We are still a very thin squad, and we will see that. And I deadline day for me, if one of them had sold, if we'd sold one of the big players, you know, Liam said in his press conference that there was no official bids, but there had been interest in Knight, Bird, Sibley, but no official bids. You'd got to snap the hand off. If they'd offered 10, 11, 12 million for them, you snap their hand off, because what you need to do with that money is then buy some players.
Yeah.
Whereas we kept hold of them and we brought in William Asula on loan, a 19-year-old striker who's obviously
never played first-team football.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong, when he came on, he did look lively. He did look like he could get about a bit. So it's going to be interesting to see where he goes. But you would have expected... I kind of hoping we're going to, in the next couple of years or so, we're going to get away from this young player academy bollocks stuff. At the end of the day, we only went to academy because of Mel Morris, because he was like, I'm not buying any more players, we've got to do it for the academy. Now, you do get players that come through the academy that are good enough to play first team, like your Knights, like your Birds, like your Sibleys. But right now, there's nobody coming through the academy. No one whatsoever.
Well, there were, but they've been stripped, haven't they?
Exactly. If they were going to come through, then obviously they've been sold off for pittance.
Lapp, Cade Gordon.
Dylan Williams. You know.
Abiseli.
Abiseli. All the ones that were going to make it have come through. I'd say Plange's got lucky, because I don't think he's that great. Not as a centre forward.
I agree. Stretton, I don't. Jack's a lovely lad, but I think this league's too much for him.
Yeah, so it's
And then you look
I would have liked to have seen us, right, okay, let's actually make... Because what's going to happen is, let's be honest, the likes of Bird, Sibley and Knight, it feels like they're going to give you another... I mean, they've what, got 2 years on the contract? Something silly like that. Oh, I don't know how long Knight's got left, actually.
One, hasn't he? Jason yeah. Knight.
So
is it Bird that's on two and Sibley and Knight are on one? I can't remember.
I think Sibley... Didn't Sibley sign... I can't remember. But yeah, regardless, what's going to happen is they're either going to sign new contracts or they're going to go for peanuts again.
Hmm.
And that's your fear. And you're thinking about it like that. You think, Yeah. Okay. So what we did, we stuck with our academy guys. No one came in for them. They've gone on a free. So again, we've made no money out of them. You know, I just think our academy is poor now. It's been stripped of everything. No one's coming through. No one's coming through from the under 18s up to under 21s or whatever it is now. There's no way we should have held on to our category A status. For me personally, I would have just gone, let's not bother with that. Not until this club's back on its feet properly and, you know, back in the championship. I don't see the point. I would have preferred to have sold somebody and brought in two or three players with the money that we would have made off them.
This is a strange situation that we're sitting here and we're not being negative. I think we're looking at it as a bigger picture, and this is coming from a guy who. Myself, as you know, I still believe we'll be wearing the crown or we'll come second. But I think reality hits us on deadline day. I just have a feeling that our restrictions finally bit us on deadline day. And we were probably in for two or three players, like possibly Cosgrove, like others. And our salary cap, which I presume is very, very tight, I would imagine that we're only allowed to spend the 8K maximum on a certain amount of players. There must be a salary cap. And I just wonder whether it got to the point where Liam may have looked at two or three senior forwards and a right back, and they turn around and their agents played a blinder, as they always do on deadline day, and used Derby as a pawn as such. Derby offered, I don't know, however much, and they managed to get, you know, topped by someone like Plymouth for Cosgrove. You know, and I just think that I sort of sat there after the game and thought, I think deadline day actually showed us that the restrictions against us put us in a position where we actually can't compete at that level in probably the most important day of the transfer window. One thing I will say is I believe that Derby would do their business in the January window a lot earlier.
Yeah.
I just wonder whether you'll see Liam target a couple of... Because there's still free agents out there.
Yeah.
And I just wonder whether he'll turn around and go, let's bring him in. Let's give them 6 weeks to be ready for the November, December, January time. You might as well.
Yeah, well, you saw Rowett did it, didn't you, with Joe Ledley?
Yeah. You might as well bring them in now, get them fit, knowing that your squad is still capable as a starting 11, of a core of 13 or 14, you are capable of winning football matches. We've proven that.
Mm.
I just wonder now whether he'll look at the freebies that are left and go, you know what, I'm going to take a gamble on you, but you've got to only take X amount per week. But if you're prepared to take that, let's go for it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what you look at. That's what Wolves are doing with Diego Costa.
Yes.
I mean, 6 weeks trial.
Yes.
You know, he's a free agent, 6 weeks trial. I'm not saying obviously we're going to sign Diego Costa, but I get exactly what you're saying. Come here, have a bit of a trial. Let's see what you can bring, see how fit you are. And obviously we'll take it from there. But we can only offer you this amount. I think Liam might be frustrated that, because we've heard him say he's got two targets, he's really excited about, you know, he's got another two targets. And they never came to fruition, you know. Right. And again, it has to be down to our business plan that we've got to stick with. So for me, I obviously didn't want to, I wouldn't want to lose the likes of Knight, Bird or Sibley, but at the end of the day, if you're going to need to get, you know, if you need to get numbers into this squad, come January, you might have to sell them just to get them. You know, if you want, say, four or five players, you might have to sell one just to get that.
Yeah, the problem is if you get one, you know that the desperation bids are going to come in January. Yeah. We know that, don't we? We know that Jason, you know, someone at the bottom of the Premier League struggling, Leicester even now, look at them. They desperately need an engine. They're going to come knocking on the door for a top young player, and they'll throw the barn door at it with cash wise to have. You know, it normally doesn't work. Let's be fair. People who normally sign desperation in January normally don't survive anyway. So I think that if you are going to get rid of someone at a decent fee, I think August is always the best way because it allows you time to bring somebody in. And also allows you time to adapt to the team without them actually being involved. I think if you rip the heart out of a team in January, you are... Look what happened. Classic example. Look what happened when Billy Davis did it. You know, he brought in Tyrone Mears and I'm trying to think who else he brought in on the January deadline to strengthen the team. Fagan, wasn't it? Fagan from Hull. So it might not have been Mears at all. It was definitely Fagan. And it just caused chaos.
Yeah.
For some reason, Billy Davis changed the way he played and it nearly cost us dearly. And I wouldn't want to see that. And I don't think Liam's that naive. So, yeah, it was a strange deadline day. I was reading Twitter and I know a lot of people were saying they're relieved and what have you. And there's certain other podcasts which... And certain other hosts of podcasts who are, you know, I think they do a great job and they've got different opinions. They were saying how it was a really good transfer window. I just think that I'm with you, Simon. I personally, if there was a genuine sniff at one of our three youngsters, I would have flipped the coin and said, let him go. Let's barter a deal that is preferential towards either keeping them for a year or getting a player. But you know what? That we're all managers, aren't we? We're all managers on a Saturday. We're all managers from during transfer window. It's what makes the game so incredible.
Yeah, it does. And it is. It was just, you know, I thought we might be busy on deadline day. Turns out we weren't. but you know, we brought in another striker. I think we need. I would have loved to have brought a right back in, just to try and free up Jason Knight into that midfield, because I think, you know, he's definitely needed that. Like, don't get me wrong, he's been excellent, unbelievable at right back. I think, you know, the position does suit him. He does play well there. But you just think the thing is with Jason Knight, you know he won't shirk out of a tackle. And if he's playing in centre mid, you're thinking when we need, you know, if I've had my digs at Knight as well regarding obviously his creating chances and scoring goals. He doesn't do it as often as he should to be a box to box midfielder, but he does win you the ball back. He will put tackles in. So it would have been nice to free him up, you know, and I get people's frustrations that he's not in midfield. We've got a Dura on the bench, but. And then people say, "Oh, why are we signing him if he's not ready?" But you've still got to think about it. What is in one? What's within your budget? Two, you know, he doesn't clearly. Liam doesn't want an old, a really old squad. You know, a lot of them players we brought in were over 30. You've got to have that right balance. I'm assuming we didn't have a right back on the books, so he was clearly trying to bring in a Duru and then another right back. Rather than put Jason Knight at right back. But there might be free agents out there that, you know, right backs, you know, we don't know. Again, we can still use that. But I think, you know, it was just, I definitely sort of, I was relieved, not going to lie. I was a bit relieved that we'd kept hold of him. But in hindsight, you think, well, actually, had we sold them, there's money coming in.
You think
there's more players coming in.
Out of the three, who would, they are potentially stars, all three of them, because of their age and their experience already within the football club and league games. Out of the three, who would you be prepared to sacrifice out of the three?
Bird.
To bring Bird. I agree with you. I was going to say Bird. I don't think Sibley will cause enough waves to get a decent salary, a decent fee in at the moment. I think Bird, I would have personally, if there was a potential offer there on the table, I would have considered it. I think that Max is a great lad, he's a great player. But I think if someone offers you, and again, Liam said there was no official offer on the table, we don't know for sure.
Yeah.
But I would have thought that would have been a great opportunity to I don't know. Yeah.
I just think with Max Bird, he's not that George Thorne player. He's not that John Eustace player. He's not that Christian Bielik player in midfield. He cannot do it on his. He can't be a centre. I don't think he can play holding midfielder on his own. He needs somebody with him. You know, he had Shinny with him for parts of the season last year. Bielik with him for parts of the season last year. I just think he needs somebody in that midfield. If we're going to play this 4-2-3-1 that we seem to have adopted, we need two players that can play in that holding midfield role. Bird's best season, without a doubt, was when he had Rooney next to him. He had that experienced head next to him. He had that person telling him what to do, where to go, where to pass to, who to pass to, etc. On his own, he can't do that, which is why I think Horahan's being sacrificed to play next to him. Now, Horahan's not a central defensive midfielder. You know, I'd say Horahan's more of an attacking midfielder. I personally believe Liam's desperate to play 4-3-3. I really genuinely believe that. And it would work. You know, you'd need, for me personally, if you're going to go that route, we saw it against Peterborough, you have your back four, whoever it may be. Ideally, I think I'd go with Forsyth, Davis, Cashin, and, you know, it'd have to be Knight at the minute. I'd put Corey Smith as your holding midfielder. And this is it. This is where you're missing that second attacking midfielder, really. Horahan and who? Who'd you squeeze in there? Sibley, maybe? And then you obviously got Barkhausen. Oh, no, or you put McGoldrick there.
Yeah.
And get him to, you know, just sit a little bit deeper, but, you know, let him get in behind the striker as well.
I'm not sure he could play that deep. I go back to the back four, you're forgetting Chester. I know he's injured, and there's obviously a concern over this injury. They're saying that he actually made it worse playing a pre-season friendly. Was it Alfreton he played?
Yeah.
There was clearly a problem there. I would always like to see Aaron Cash in it as a holding midfielder.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I think there's a player there. There's definitely a player there. I just wonder sometimes whether his positioning in the back four is being supported with experience. Yeah, he had Steers next to him last week, but I personally always have the two most experienced centre-halves you've got available if they're fit.
So you'd have Davis and Chester?
Davis, Chester, or Davis and Stearman. I don't think Stearman's put a foot wrong since he's been in the team.
Yeah. I don't know. I've always had a couple of dodgy moments, but other than that, yeah, he's not really done.
Well, compared to if you look at his dodgy moments compared to Hayden Robertson, Cashin's dodgy moments.
Yeah, they've been costly, haven't they?
Yeah. And Stearman's hasn't.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's a great. There's never a good time to lose, but no. I think if you're gonna lose and lose that way, lose early in the season that way, and have the capacity to be able to work a full week of rectifying it, because there'll be a lot of videos being played.
Yeah.
There'll be a lot of analysis. There'll be a lot of fingers being pointed, because they completely outplayed us in every single department. Like, just looking at the stats now, Simon, whilst we're on, you know, I'm normally not a stat man, but I looked at them straight away. Like, they had 13 shots, we had 12, six of theirs were on target. I thought Wildsmith actually had a good game.
Yeah.
You know, we only had three on target. We normally outpass teams off the park.
Yeah.
Well, they outpassed us 492 to 364, and they weren't messing around with balls at the back.
No.
They were fluent. They were passing the ball through the, you know, the zones very, very quickly.
Yeah.
And they played lovely triangles at Plymouth. So to see, go on.
And this is it. we've mentioned about how to play in this league. And obviously, Liam wants to play out from the back and all this lovely football. But teams are just coming to press. They know. They know. And I think, and it's normally the second half. The first half, they'll sit back, let Derby attack. You know, we'll defend them, do what we can. But the second half, they will press. If they're still within this game, they will press us because they know we can't. We struggle when we're being pressed.
Yeah.
And it just, I mentioned it on the last show about him having a plan B. Because at the moment, it's just a plan A. But it doesn't even have to be a tweak of formation. It's just about a tweak of how you play. You look under McLaren. McLaren, you know, people say, oh, you used to pass out of back under McLaren. We didn't. You look under McLaren. McLaren, we got the ball into midfield as quick as we could. And then we played from there. Whether that was the centre-backs had pushed right up, we played football in the opponent's half, not in our half. We tend to seem to be playing in our half, trying to bring them onto us, trying to break through the lines, and it's just not working. It doesn't work if teams sit back. If teams press, they're pressing well. They're well-coached. They seem, you know, the likes of Peterborough, the likes of Plymouth, they're well-coached on how to press, and we can't cope with it. So I think there has to be some sort of adjustment on our style of football and how he wants to play. You know, like even just the goal kicks, man. You're just putting yourself straight under pressure by playing it by letting Cashin take the goal kick. And then all of a sudden they panic and they just boot it upfield. So it's like, well, why didn't you do that in the first place?
I know. And the bizarre thing is that we were saying only last week on the podcast, I believe, that we were saying that, you know, League One, you can pretty much tell who's going to be involved and how the results are going to pan out and who's going to be in the top eight and who's going to be fighting for survival, whereas the Championship, it's a spread right between 1 and 12. Yet you look at Plymouth, who got stuffed 5-1 by Charlton.
Yeah.
I think it was last week, actually, or a couple of weeks ago. Yes, they lost some men. I think it went down to 10 men. But even so, if they play that style of football with 10 men, which I believe they could, Peterborough never changed their style.
No.
Yeah, you know, it just shows you what freak results are still going to happen. So I thought Charlton were poor.
Yeah, it's a few weeks ago now. It was back mid-August. They were down to 10 men, but it's still, you don't expect it. And
no, exactly, and it just shows you the wonders of this league. Mm. I look forward to going to Plymouth and seeing the return fixture, because as a footballing match, yes, okay, we were on the ropes most of it, but I thought I really enjoyed watching it. I hate to say it, but I really enjoyed watching Plymouth play, because Schumacher's done a great job there, and another up and coming young coach. Who's got a style which clearly is attractive, and you can see now why they've been tipped to do something this year.
Yeah. They do play good football, and you know it's. But again, like I say, it's a team that's been together for a while. They know each other. I think with Derby, I'm not. You know, it's one game for me. We've lost it. Doesn't matter. Yeah. It's one game. You know, we can soon bounce back, and you know, and I agree with you. I don't think it's. I think they'll enjoy the fact that they have got a rest this Tuesday. There's no game this Tuesday because it is tough, you know, especially with the EFL trophy now. You can't just put a weakened squad out.
No.
You have to play a certain amount of seniors, you know, and obviously we're in the next round of the Cup in the Carabao Cup in November, isn't it? I think it is, yeah. Then you've got the FA Cup starting shortly after that. You think there's a lot of games here. For a small squad, you need to sort of put emphasis on what you want. Do you want promotion? Do you want to win the EFL trophy? You know, do you want a cup run? There's a lot of things to take into account here. And with the players how they are at the moment, there's obviously an issue with fitness. That's clear to see. When you've got your wingers coming off after 60 minutes. There is certainly an issue with fitness. Now, that is something that needs addressing, whether that's a strength and conditioning coach need coming in or whether it is just it will be another couple of games and then we'll be a bit more up to scratch sort of thing. But Yeah, I mean, you say we've had six games, which more 10 into nine, 10, something like that.
Yeah, I wonder about league games.
Yeah, because obviously with the cups and stuff, and obviously a lot of players, we've only having a small squad, a lot of players are getting, you know, added minutes.
I looked at the results of League One. I'm just looking at them now from the weekend, and there were some really strange results. There were some obvious ones like Ipswich looked strong. They beat Accrington away. Bolton beat Charlton. I had that down for a draw. Cambridge are going strong still. They beat Lincoln.
Yeah.
Exeter are going strong still. Wickham are struggling. They're drawing, seems to be every week.
Yeah, yeah.
The Whipping Boys are becoming obvious. Forest Green got beat by Shrewsbury, of all people. Burton got beaten. I believe Jimmy's quit, has he?
Jimmy Floyd Aspang's quit and he's handed his resignation today, hasn't
he? Yeah, which I found quite funny that he was on Old Trafford's pitch as a pundit on the Sunday and then quit on the Monday. You know, how you can have a manager who's completely clueless at his own club, signing 30 players in 12 months, stood there at Old Trafford moaning about tactics of Arsenal and whatever. It's beyond me. You need to look at yourself, mate. And then you look at Portsmouth beating Peterborough, and then the biggest shock was Barnsley, who won at Chef Wednesday.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, and again, it's an exciting league. We've dropped down to ninth, but we're only 1 point off the playoffs. I know people are going, Chris, what are you talking about? Yeah, we've only played
seven games,
but you can see that there's a pattern starting to form.
Mm.
And it's the likes of your Forest Greens, it's the likes of your MK Dons, and you know, just look at the table that we are going to have to go to, and we're going to have to beat. You know,
well, we've got Morecambe, haven't we, at the weekend? Morecambe sitting third bottom,
haven't won a game yet, drawn four.
Yeah, so my bet's on a draw then.
No, they've scored three goals.
Mm.
You know, and then you've got Forest Green who are getting warped. You've got Burton who clearly, I don't know what they're going to do because, but that just shows you too many cooks. They've had a massive rotation of players over two seasons. Cheltenham are down there, Lincoln are down there, MK Dons, Accrington, Port Vale, you know, Bristol Rovers. It's to me, the league is now starting to take shape of how I thought it would.
Yeah.
The only shocks I would say is, you know, when I saw Shrewsbury, I thought they were poor, but they seem to be doing okay mid-table. Mm. Wickham are struggling at the moment, which I'm really not. I don't give a. I nearly swore then. I don't care.
Yeah, yeah.
The big shocks, if anything, is obviously you've got your early runners who always tend to fall away at the end, which are Cambridge and Exeter, which I believe that them two won't be in the top six or seven come Christmas time. I think they'll start off strong, and I think you'll see those fade away. But it's a good league, mate. It's a good league, isn't exciting. We said it was a crap league, isn't standard.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the game that we saw on Saturday was one of the few that will stand out when we do play the likes of Portsmouth, Plymouth, Chef Wednesday, Peterborough, Ipswich, the better teams. You will see football like that. There's no question.
Yeah, yeah.
But we're about to go into the most important time. I think September, you were saying last week, we've got eight games, is it, you were saying?
Something daft like that. It's going to be, as I said, I think.
Who we got?
So we've got Morecambe away on Saturday. Lincoln away on Wednesday.
So both those teams are in the bottom five.
Sorry, yeah. So yeah, Morecambe and Lincoln away. So Morecambe on the Saturday, Lincoln on the both Tuesday.
Both draw specialists.
Yeah, Wickham at home on the Saturday. Then we've got Man City on the Tuesday and the AFL Trophy.
Yeah.
Then we've got Cheltenham at home on the Saturday. And obviously that's the last one. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So that's five games in 14 days.
Wow,
that's League One football for you.
Okay,
that you know that's obviously. I know, obviously, Championship. You do get a lot of Saturday, Tuesdays, But when you're getting the likes of the EFL Trophy added in, it adds on a little bit more.
Well, realistically, Simon, we should be beating Morecambe, who have not won a game yet, drawn four, scored three goals. Cheltenham, you mentioned, have won one, drawn two, lost four. We should be beating them. They've only scored four.
Lincoln.
Lincoln. You know, they've only won one, drawn four. We should be going to these places. We should, hopefully, we've learned from these examples of Shrewsbury and Fleetwood who had no interest in playing expansive football.
Yeah.
And you'd hope now that that's been assessed, looked at, and we'll have a plan of action when we come against these draw specialists.
Yeah, I mean, the way you have to look at it, I guess, is we had four home games on the bounce, including the cup, the Carling Cup. Bloody hell, something called that for years. The Carabao Cup and the EFL Trophy. And I felt we could win all four of them games.
Yeah, yeah.
But we lost one. But you've got to look at it this way. That's one loss in eight games in all competitions. It's not bad. You know, you have to take the positives from it. It's one loss in eight games. It's not the end of the world. Mm. And, you know, for me, the only disappointment is it's 2-0 lead, you throw it away, and you lose 3-2. Had we drawn that game, would have been disappointed, but not as disappointed. But to lose it like we did with an error, two errors, maybe three, but to lose it the way we did, it was just not good enough. And I think that was the disappointing fact, is I went in at halftime thinking, buzzing because we're winning. But I thought, yeah, we've not really played very well. But you take what you get in this league. If you're going to play poor and you win, you're not bothered.
Well, here's your question, Simon. You're the manager of the football club and you've just seen what's happened at the weekend. Mm. You stick the confidence with the back four who conceded three goals and don't change them for the away trip on Saturday. Or do you bring in Curtis, bring in Roberts back? And tweak it, because quite clearly there was energy that was not there in the midfield. And do you somehow get Knight on the pitch, or do you take out a Stearman?
To me, if Davis is fit, he goes into this squad. He goes into this team without doubt.
For who?
Stearman.
You would take Stearman out, not Cashin.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just think that if you take Cashin out, you bury his confidence. He's played well up to now, and I think he does work well with Curtis Davis. I think he's got a very good relationship with Curtis Davis. So I would take, if Davis is fit, he comes back in and I stick him in instead of Stearman. I do bring Roberts back into the side. I think especially against someone like Morecambe that are down there, I think go show us what you can do. You know, that's. He's a good player. There is a good player in there. I actually think he plays quite well at centre-back, considering he's only a small guy. I know that's his obviously preferred position, but I think he does all right there.
Well, here's a curveball for you. What was the centre-half pairing against West Brom?
Rooney and Cashin.
I thought it was Rooney and Fozzie.
Yeah, it was Rooney and Fozzie, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was Rooney and Fozzie.
Yeah.
And then he had Adoro on one side and Roberts on the other. Mm.
Mobility.
It was agile.
Mm.
Here's the other question. On the third goal, if that would have been Stearman and Davis, obviously Stearman holding the line, Davis approaching, attacking the ball that's coming high with Cosgrove on you, where does Davis put that ball?
Rosette.
He ain't going to bring it down, is he?
No.
This is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
These are the fine lines. We all know that Aaron is a wonderful player.
Mm.
But when it comes to game management, he'll learn a lot from it.
Yeah, he'll learn.
And you could see it destroyed him. You could see that he was genuinely gutted. And I feel for the lad. He must have been heartbroken in that changing room, because it was a game for him to forget. And prior to that, he's been, like I said, magnificent. And, you know, I've been one of his advocates, and you have as well.
Mm.
But I think when you go to somewhere like Morecambe, where we need an away win, let's be honest, we need an away win.
We do need to get rid of this.
Yeah, we need to get rid of this hoodoo. I personally would go to Morecambe with an experienced pairing at the back. And I would... I think he'll look to bring Curtis in for Aaron. I think he'll take Aaron out.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I think Stearman he'll keep in. I think he'll put Davis in. I might be wrong. The Fozzie Roberts rotation, I think, is an interesting one. With Hayden Roberts, who clearly has struggled this last few games. It's an interesting selection that's going to come, because we're all going to have our 11s on a piece of paper on Saturday, and we'll probably all get it wrong.
Probably, yeah.
Jake Rooney might appear from nowhere.
I'd like Rooney to see Rooney involved.
You know, but the other interesting thing is, he's brought Asula in and he's brought Dobbin in. Is he ever going to play them two together at the same time from the start? Or is he going to rely on Collins all the time and McGoldrick? Yeah.
He'll be relying on Collins and McGoldrick. That's the thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
At the end of the day. And again, what is it with us buying him forwards and playing him out wide?
Yeah.
I don't get it. For me, you've got the perfect opportunity, I feel now, to go sort of a 4-4-2.
Yeah.
Get a Dobbin next to Collins, you know, or a Sula next to Dobbin, or a Sula next to Collins. You know, or, you know, even McGoldrick and Collins is a 4-4-2. Just drop McGoldrick a little bit back a little bit. Let Collins play up further forward. Bring it as a 4-4-2 or a 4-1-3-3-2. There's plenty of options you could have. But me, I'd personally, if Corey Smith was fit, he'd be in place for Max Bird. For me.
Yeah. Okay.
Just because I think Max needs to... I think he's been struggling the last couple of games. We saw a massive improvement when Smith came on for him against Peterborough. And Liam says he reckons Corey Smith's one of the best midfielders in this league.
But he was captain. He was captain Saturday, wasn't he, Max?
And this is the problem. You've got your normal captain's injured, so you have to rely on your vice captain. Are you going to drop your vice captain? It's one of them conundrums. But the thing is, though, he's got to look past that, his captain. If he's not playing well, he's not performing.
You see, here's something that I'd love to be on the bench and understand the philosophy behind the selections that they made as a backroom staff with Liam. Because I would imagine they advise him. I'd love to know what Bucco's thoughts were. And I'd love to know what Justin Walker's... Because Bucco's an out-and-out centre-half. Liam is a fullback. Justin Walker, I believe, played at fullback. They surely must have seen that the writing was on the wall, that we clearly were not winning the midfield battle, and that we shut shop. So whether they got overruled by Liam or whether it was a group decision, I don't know. That's what they get paid for, and that's not for us to judge, because they're going to get it. They're going to make some wonderful stuff. He made a fantastic substitution against Peterborough. He brought Corey on. It changed the game.
That's what I mean. Normally this season, he's got his
swings
subs
and roundabouts.
Yeah,
swings and roundabouts. But I just think that when you see a game, that game didn't turn at half time.
No, it was already turned before that.
It was turned before that. We got blinded by a wonderful goal by Mendes Lang, who the goal reminded me of two goals previously. Robson Carnu for Wales in the Euros.
Yeah.
Against Belgium.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going really showing my age here. Gregors Raziak scored a goal against Stoke, very similar. And also Giles Barnes scored a goal very similar against Sunderland.
Yeah, I remember that one. Yeah.
And I just thought that goal completely hid the problems.
Yeah.
And I think that spark of genius and the first goal, that spark of good football, was it a case of looking at it and going, well, we've done it twice before, so if they score two, we can score another two. I always believe that a good manager learns from bad experiences, and I think that he'll be a better person for it. And it really, really interesting game to discuss, actually. You know, it was a good game to discuss as a podcast, because there were so many things that didn't work out that we saw weaknesses for the first time this season. We've talked about positives for the previous podcast, and I've been positive, and you started to get positive because you were very, to be fair, you were sort of on the fence. Let's see how it goes, and then gradually you've gone mid-table, playoffs, top three, and I've always said no, we'll go top two. So it's a fascinating game to see, Simon, this week, and I think Morecambe again is going to go back to a classic game of Shrewsbury all over again, mate, and I'm looking forward to it.
Go on, and just before we end, then what's your score prediction?
Well, we're playing against a draw specialist who hasn't won at home, so it's got 0-0 written all over it, hasn't it?
It has.
I hope it's not. I just hope for the fans that are going, because unfortunately I can't make the game. It's another seaside outing with good weather, good atmosphere, sell out. Let's go for 1-0. Curtis Davis.
You're going Davis again.
I always go Curtis. He owes me a goal. Go on.
I'm going 1-1. I'm being boring. I'm staying on the fence.
Are you really? One goal?
I just think, I don't know. With our away form, I just think, I don't know. I'm going to go 1-1. I'm going to stick with guns, and then you can slate me next week when I'm wrong.
it ain't going to be pretty.
It is literally just going to be Shrewsbury all over again, isn't it? That's what it's going to be. So I think I'm going to go for a draw. Score draw, as they say. Wicked. Chris, thank you as always for your time this evening. It's been a pleasure, I suppose.
Like I said, it was a good game to break down. You got to look at perspective.
Well, exactly. But that's the good thing about having you. You're obviously, you're a coach, whether it be in the word we don't mention, or whether it be in football, you're a coach. You coach football. You've coached the word we don't mention. So it's good to get your sort of perspective from it. So yeah, that's brilliant. And I think obviously the listeners will enjoy that. So yes, that's the end of the show. Sorry, it's a bit disappointing, but we have to take the negatives with the positives. But we shall see you next week. Of course, we will see you next week. And as always, like, share, subscribe, and come on, Derby.